Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Okay, welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh. You're listening to 101.9 CITR in Vancouver. It's summertime, and I got a fine selection of beats for you tonight, and also an excellent interview feature for tonight's show from Toronto's Lisa Shaw. So up first are my two tracks of the week. Up first is Stonehouse's track. This one's called Dawn. Enjoy, and I'll be back in a bit.
Okay, five people in the house.
Okay, two great tracks of the week there. That last one was for fans of old school Canadian hip hop. It was Sydney Blue with a track called Throwdown. And the first one there was Dawn by a guy called Stonehouse. Check out both of those if you like what you heard. Up next is tonight's feature, and I was really fortunate to be able to interview Deep House producer and vocalist Lisa Shaw this past, Thursday night. She will be performing here along with Miguel Miggs on Saturday, August the 5th. And this interview should give you a nice taste of what to expect for that, so enjoy this. DJ Wah speaking to Lisa Shaw, a producer and vocalist from Toronto and currently based out of Miami, who has been producing since 1995. She's featured on a multitude of prominent labels, including Anjuna Deep, Defected, Salted, and Ohm, just to name a few. She is truly a recognizable voice in the deep house scene, and it's my pleasure to be speaking with her. This is Lisa Shaw. So to begin with, how would you define your sound?
Gosh, soulful and eclectic. It's pretty hard for me to define myself.
Okay, easy enough.
I mean, I've done different styles, but pretty much it boils down to, soulful dance music,
Okay.
Soulful deep house.
Okay, is there anything about your early life and growing up in Toronto and also visiting Ontario Place that inspired you to produce the type of music that you do?
When I was younger, I did theater, and I went to a Cambry High School where I would trained to, to do all different styles of music, jazz and theater and all that. But it was something kind of, brewing inside of me that because of my eclectic background, it was more about creating something new with all the diversity that I came from. And when I got to New York, or when my cousin first started to take an interest in me when I was like 16, or actually when I was 14 years old, he would send me tapes of music that he had produced. And he was a drummer for Lisa Lisa and Culture. So he'd send me these tapes of just his instrumental stuff. It was him and DJ Smash, and I started to write to it. And back then it was more like an acid jazz kind of house stuff. And it was a really good format to where I could freely do what I wanted, lyrically and melody-wise. And that's kind of where I always wanted to be in a band. I liked, all this different types of music, but to somehow combine them and write was like one of the dreams or aspirations that I had in dance music.
I'm holding out tonight. I am my own real. Okay, so that kind of led into my next question for you. It says, how did visiting New York in the early to mid 90s change the direction of your life and your career?
I always thought I would end up in London, like because of my musical taste. I was like thinking after, you know, school, I'd go there, I had family there. And coming to, you know, New York was actually by accident. I had finished, you know, school and was taking a year off. And I was on a cruise ship, and I, you know, hated it. And I was like, oh, this is horrible. So I left. And I wasn't supposed to start college until the following year. I was going to go to Sheridan. And he was like, well, why don't you come down and, you know, come down for like a few weeks and do some recording. And I was like, cool. So I went down there and just basically like kept going back and forth. And it just took off that way. And it was, I guess he started me do stuff where I was still writing, and that was that time when I was doing acid jazz. That kind of launched into me doing actually drum and bass for a while, because that was like just I kind of folded into that. They say that they birthed me, which is cute, because that's really where I kind of got my chops from, stage wise and stuff. And then it just everything just kind of evolved. It was weird. It's like I started working with producers and started doing kind of soulful stuff, and then I wanted to do like a classic album, and this guy Dave Warren, who is today to this day we still write and produce together, we did like three songs. It was like old school kind of style. Bruno Ybarra was like, oh, I want this, let's put it out. And so then we started doing an album, and everything just kind of folded into making music, into singles, and it kind of just took over my life.
Which do you feel more passionate about, performing live or producing in the studio?
I love performing live. It's great to be in the studio, and the creative process is really, it's nice, but you always are like, some songs translate differently live, and that's where you kind of get just a different feeling. I really like to perform. I mean, sometimes studio stuff is like too tedious, you know? It's like little things, and just like, finally you just want to sing it, you want to know how it feels to sing it live. I mean, they're both quite rewarding, but I must say that I do like the performance aspect of it.
Thank you. How did your musical relationship with Miguel Miggs start, and how is it that you've collaborated so much since that point?
Back in, '99, I was the same guy, Bruno Ibarra. He sent me a track, and an instrumental. He says, this is a track, or like, you know, if you like it, it'd be great for you to do some vocals on it. And I was like, cool, I fell in love with it. And so I wrote to it, and I didn't know who this person was. It was, you know, Miguel Miggs' track. And I recorded it, did everything myself, and then sent it back. And then I found out that a little while later, one of the first ones on Naked Music was a song called That's Why I'm Here. And it was remixed by Miguel. And I remember hearing it, I was like, oh, this is really great. Who, you know, who is this guy? I didn't put two and two together. And I fell in love with the mix, and I found out it was his. So it wasn't for a whole year, when I did a track for him and he had remixed for me, that I saw him in Miami at, I think it was the Raleigh Hotel or the Delano pool party for the Women Music Conference. And somebody said, Miguel. And I was like, who is he? Where is he? Over there. And I was like, hi. And I backed and tapped him on the shoulder. I was like, hi, I'm Lisa. And he was like, oh my God. And we've been friends ever since. It was just like after that, we started, you know, the crew, we were all part of the label, Naked. So we, you know, did shows together. We were on the road together. And we really just developed a great friendship, working and personal. Since then, it's like, he's like my partner in crime. Can't believe it's been that long. It's kind of crazy. But yeah, that's how we met, technically, and how our relationship started.
What's the collaborative process between the two of you like when you are making a track?
Actually, what I like about when I work with Miguel is that, like, I'll be at his house or wherever, and he'll have a couple tracks. And what we do is we just listen to them back to back, and we just feel it out and think of, like, melodies or whatever. And then we go, oh, this one's cool. We just pinpoint and we hone in on it. We may, like, have three or four. And then we just go from there. But what I like about working with him is that we both do it together. It's like we both collaborate on the lyrics and the direction and the melody. And then we go from there and we elaborate. I mean, he's technically the director. So it's nice to collaborate. Sometimes with other people, I do it all myself. So I'm in charge of, from the whole process of the vocals and the melody and the arrangement. But with him, it's definitely just both of us working on it, brainstorming to make the best possible end product.
You believe in, don't stop. What keeps you moving? Thank you.
Over the years, you've collaborated with a huge collection of other artists. Can you name two or three particular collaborations you've done that really stand out for you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, besides Miguel, Dave Warren and Jay Dennis have, they, you know, they've been huge in my repertoire. So one of the first tracks that I did, you know, with Jay was You Are Love, and then Let's Do It Together. And then with Dave Warren, you know, we I did Central Living with him. I did, you know, Let It Ride. I mean, they've been my family for so long. So they definitely have a huge impact on me because I work closely with them also in the same kind of process as Miguel. Fred Everything, I love him. We have one track together, but he's done quite a few remixes of all the stuff that I've done. But they're all my family. They're all like my crew, you know? So it's like, all of them put together, it's like, they're my guys, you know?
Is it ever challenging for you to find musical inspiration while you're in the studio?
Absolutely. it's difficult. Sometimes it comes, like, it's like, bam, and it's like, boom, and it just, you know, spews out of my brain. Other times I like, especially if you're doing songs back to back, you want to talk about the same thing or the same thing, you know, but sometimes it's hard because it ends up falling back to love or something, you know, like all songs. So I'm like, oh, but I'm talking about that. I always do another direction and doing that way. Of course, for writers, it's always great to be miserable to write, you know, because it's like that gets great songs. You know, but when you're, it's difficult sometimes when you're not, you know, I have to draw from old sources, you know, or from other people, but it's like a writing thing where sometimes it just clicks and other times you have to struggle for it, but it varies, it really does vary.
2005 and 2009, you released two long players. The first was Cherry, out on Naked Music Recordings, and the second was titled Free on Salted Music. What opportunities does a long player offer you that making singles doesn't?
Your fans want to hear the novel. They want to hear, like, the story, you know, the 12 songs and the 13 songs. Like right now, I'm just being hassled. Where's your third album? And I'm like, I'm working on it, but it's difficult because you end up doing singles, and you get caught up in doing singles for different artists just to keep it flowing. And then at albums, you know, people are doing them in such short periods of time now. You can't like take 3 years to do it anymore. You have to do it like, you know, 6 months or 8 months so that it's fresh, and you keep. Otherwise, you just keep going back and redoing stuff. Albums to me, whether they sell or not, as the entire album or singles, I think it's just a piece of. A work, like a body of work that I think people look forward to, as opposed to just singles here and singles there. They want to hear from 0 to 60. They want to hear how, you know. I mean, I kind of go a little crazy on. I'm sure most artists do, like the order of songs. You know, that kind of all that little stuff is important in the flow and mood that you're going to create. It's like watching a movie.
You're going to be playing at Celebrities in Vancouver on Saturday, the 5th of August. What can Vancouverites look forward to in your performance that night?
I have a couple new tracks out with Miguel. One is Waterfall, and the other one is I Can See It. Sorry, I get confused by the lyrics. And a few of them, because I haven't been to Vancouver with Miguel for quite a few years now. Just playing with him will be, I'm so looking forward to that, actually. But I have a couple new tunes that have been released recently.
When you are performing together with Miguel Miggs, do you plan in advance when you're going to be performing, or is it sort of more spontaneous than that?
I review all the stuff that I possibly think we're going to do. You know, maybe it's sound check. We'll talk about it. I never know what I'm going to sing on the second half, or because I do two sets of three songs. One earlier when he starts, and then one towards the end when he finishes. But I just, we always feel it out, because you never know what the audience is like. It's like a DJ has a collection or tracks, and he kind of decides at the time when he's playing how he's going to do it. So it's not, it's kind of similar to that, but we feel it out. We're like, hey, I think this one would be better to do that one, or this one first and that one third. So we do, yeah, I do have a kind of an idea,
okay,
but we decide pretty much right before I go on.
Can you, the music?
All right, what is your vision for the future of yourself and in your productions?
Right, recently I released something with Nicodemus, and it's a cover of Mary Jane Girls in My House, out now on Tracksource and all these other online music sites. And in August, late August, I have another record coming out with Night Riders. It's called Under Pressure, so look out for that one.
Okay.
I'm really, really excited about it.
Lisa okay. Shaw has recently released the You Got Me EP out on Defected, and again most recently on Puro Music. Her productions are amazing and her signature vocals are unmistakable and worth checking out. A selection of Lisa Shaw tracks can be found on Beatport, iTunes, and Juno Download. Lisa Shaw will be performing on Saturday, August the 5th at Celebrities, and tickets can be found online. A full list of Lisa Shaw web links can also be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page. Thanks a lot for doing this.
People let me. Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts in Kitsilano and around UBC at The Book Warehouse, Stormcrow Ale House, The Australian Boot Company, Fresh's Best Salsa and Company, Banyan Books and Sound, Tapestry Music Limited, Rufus Guitar Shop, Dentry's Irish Grill, the UBC Bookstore, On the French Hair Design, and the Bike Kitchen.
What would we do without our friends?
It's not just rich people that own the media.
I own my 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 media.
The Media Co-op is a grassroots national news network that's owned by its members. Join us today at mediacoop.ca/join.
Okay, an excellent and candid interview there from Lisa Shaw. If you enjoyed what you heard, a full track list for that interview can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, along with a full list of Lisa Shaw web links. And if you did enjoy that, remember to check her out live here in Vancouver along with Miguel Miggs on Saturday, August the 5th. Up next is my mix. I've gone in a techno-y direction here tonight. It will be a short, brief mix, but there will be techno, I promise you that. First track is Ramon Tapia with Karma. Enjoy this, and I will be back in a little bit.
cell phone already has an FM receiver chip installed in it, but major Canadian telecommunication and mobile companies have blocked access to this free system to listen to the radio in favor of charging for data streaming. With access to the FM chip, your phone can still receive broadcasts and updates during an emergency, even if the cell towers are down. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Okay, we are done here for another week. I'm DJ Waugh. That was a Techno Progressivo. Thanks a lot for Lisa Shaw for allowing me to interview her here. Be sure to check her out on August 5th with Miguel Miggs in town in Vancouver. Full track list for her interview and tracks of the week. And my mix can be found at Techno Progressivo's Facebook page, along with a list of Lisa Shaw web links. So check those out if you liked what you heard. If you enjoyed the show, check it out again in podcast form, either at iTunes or at citr.ca. Up next is going to be Transcendence with Smiley Mike, but it doesn't look like he's here, so I'll just run the music for a little while until that does start. But first, as always, let's set the controls in the time machine for this week's amazing track from the past. This time we're going to hop back to 2007, one of my favorite electronic songs of all time, and I was actually fortunate to see this guy play his own track live at Celebrities in about January, I think, of 2008. This is Nick Fanciulli and Lucky Heather. This track absolutely goes off, so enjoy this, and I will see you back here in 2 weeks.